First Samuel chapter 26, and I'll read most of that chapter for us. In fact, I'll read all of it. First Samuel chapter 26, and verses 1 through to verse 25. So starting there in verse 1, and the Ziphites came unto Saul to Gibeah, saying, Doth not David hide himself in the hill of Hakilah, which is before Jeshimon? Then Saul arose and went down to the wilderness of Ziph, having 3,000 chosen men of Israel with him, to seek David in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul pitched in the hill of Hakilah, which is before Jeshimon, by the way. But David abode in the wilderness, and he saw that Saul came after him into the wilderness. David therefore sent out spies, and understood that Saul was come in very deed. And David arose and came to the place where Saul had pitched. And David beheld the place where Saul lay, and Abner, the son of Ner, the captain of his host. And Saul lay in the trench, and the people pitched round about him. Then answered David and said to Ahimelech the Hittite and to Abishai the son of Zeruiah, brother to Joab, saying, Who will go down with me to Saul to the camp? And Abishai said, I'll go down with thee. So David and Abishai came to the people by night, and behold, Saul lay sleeping within the trench, and his spear stuck in the ground at his bolster. But Abner and the people lay round about him. Then said Abishai to David, God hath delivered thine enemy into thine hand this day. Now, therefore, let me smite him, I pray thee, with the spear even to the earth at once, and I will not smite him the second time. David said to Abishai, Destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? David said furthermore, As the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall descend into battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed, but I pray thee, take thou now the spear that is at his bolster and the cruse of water, and let us go. So David took the spear and the cruse of water from Saul's bolster, and they gat them away, and no man saw it nor knew it, neither awaked, for they were all asleep, because a deep sleep from the Lord was fallen upon them. Then David went over to the other side and stood on the top of a hill afar off, a great space being between them. And David cried to the people and to Abner the son of Ner, saying, Answerest thou not, Abner? Then Abner answered and said, Who art thou that criest to the king? David said to Abner, Art not thou a valiant man? And who is like to thee in Israel? Wherefore then hast thou not kept thy lord the king? For there came one of the people in to destroy the king thy lord. This thing is not good that thou hast done. As the Lord liveth, ye are worthy to die, because ye have not kept your master of the Lord's anointed. And now see where the king's spear is and the cruse of water that was at his bolster. And Saul knew David's voice and said, Is this thy voice, my son David? David said, It is my voice, my lord, O king. And he said, Wherefore doth my lord thus pursue after his servant? For what have I done? Or what evil is in mine hand? Now therefore, I pray thee, let my lord the king hear the words of his servant. If the Lord have stirred thee up against me, let him accept an offering. But if they be the children of men, cursed be they before the Lord. For they have driven me out this day from abiding in the inheritance of the Lord, saying, Go, serve other gods. Now therefore, let not my blood fall to the earth before the face of the Lord. For the king of Israel has come out to seek a flea, as when one doth hunt a partridge in the mountains. Then said Saul, I have sinned, return, my son David, for I'll no more do thee harm. Because my soul was precious in thine eyes this day, Behold, I have played the fool and have erred exceedingly. David answered and said, Behold the king's spear, and one of the young men come over and fetch it. The Lord rendered to every man his righteousness and his faithfulness. For the Lord delivered thee into my hand today, but I would not stretch forth my hand against the Lord's anointed. And behold, as thy life was much set by this day in mine eyes, so let my life be much set by in the eyes of the Lord, and let him deliver me out of all tribulation. Then Saul said to David, Blessed be thou, my son David. Thou shalt both do great things, and also shalt still prevail. So David went on his way, and Saul returned to his place. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we again bless you and thank you for the privilege to gather around now the Word of God. Thankful that thy Word is truth, and we read of this account, particularly with Saul and David here, Lord. We just ask, Father, that this might be a time that you would use this passage, Lord, to work in our hearts and lives and compass your will and way. And we want to give you thanks, Lord, in anticipation of what you're going to do. In the Lord Jesus' name, amen. Right, we look here at Saul and David, and we know the story, I guess, a little bit at least, when you look back over those years and how David had gone down there when the battle was on, and God allowed him to kill Goliath with his sling and stone, all those things, and David then became part of Saul's army, and he was greatly used, and the people loved him and everything else. But then some things began to change, and David had been that blessing. In fact, he used to play a harp for Saul. Saul sometimes was troubled by an evil spirit, and David used to come and play the harp, and Saul would be back at peace again. But Saul had become envious of David. And I want us to look at some passages. Go back a little bit to 1 Samuel chapter 18. And verse 5, 1 Samuel 18, verse 5, And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely. And David set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. David had come to a place of great prominence, and God was blessing him and using him. Verse 6, And it came to pass, as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul, with tabrets, with joy, with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played, and said, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, They have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? Saul's got a bad attitude there. The people, the women who were doing the singing and joyful, whatever they were doing there, they were excited, and they accredited to David tens of thousands and to Saul only thousands, and Saul was not happy. From that point on, the Bible says in verse 9, Saul eyed David from that day and forward. From that point on, Saul's got his eye on David. He's watching him. He's got a problem now. We would call it envy or jealousy. You notice as you read on, And it came to pass on the morrow, the evil spirit from God came upon Saul. He prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. Saul cast a javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. And notice verse 12, And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. You would think at this point that, I'll say it carefully in the vernacular, Saul would wake up and smell the roses. It's clear that God is on David's side. Very clear. And yet Saul is envious, and he's come to the point where he's even trying to kill him. Well, if you have a look there, verse 28, Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David, that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him, so now he's got himself a wife. Go to chapter 23. Chapter 23, and have a look there in verse 17. And he said unto him, fear not, for the hand of Saul my father. This is Jonathan, David's best and closest friend. Fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee, and thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee. Notice what it says, and that also Saul my father knoweth. When you think about the insanity of Saul, all because, why? Because they said David is slain, his 10,000, and Saul his 1,000. Imagine getting to the point where you want to kill the other person. And yet Saul knows that the Lord is with him. He knows that one day David will be on the throne. Go to chapter 24. Chapter 24 and verse 16. And it came to pass when David had made an end of speaking these words unto Saul, that Saul said, is this thy voice, my son David? And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. He said to David, thou art more righteous than I, for thou hast rewarded me good, as I have rewarded thee evil. And thou hast showed this day how thou hast dealt well with me, as much as when the Lord had delivered me into thine hand, thou killest me not. If a man find his enemy, let him go well away. Wherefore the Lord reward thee good, for that thou hast done unto me this day. And now, behold, I know well that thou shalt surely be king, that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in thine hand. I mean, David had an opportunity here where he could have killed Saul. David's in a cave. Saul comes in to relieve himself. David's back in the cave. He doesn't let it go. One of his men said, go and kill him. We've got him. God's obviously brought him in. He said, no, I can't do that. He cut a little bit off the hem of his gun before Saul went out. Didn't realize what David had done. David went out after Saul had gone and yelled out and said, excuse me, look what I've got here. And Saul says, yeah, I know that one day you'll be king. And yet, still keeps after David, wants to try and kill him. Keeps after him. You have a look in chapter 26 again. There's been this battle. David's been hiding himself. The news gets out that to Saul that David's up there in the wilderness. And so Saul decides he's going to get after him again. He's going to try and kill him again. Sounds crazy, doesn't it? But I want to come and focus particularly on what Saul said after they'd had some discussion there. Those other verses which we read. Remember, Saul's down there in the camp, and his men are there, Abner, his generals there, and David goes down at night time, could have easily taken Saul's life again. And Abishai was willing to do so. Just let me hit him once. I only need to hit him once and he'll be dead. Don't worry about that. I won't hit him a second time. And David said, no, he's the Lord's anointed. We can't do that. We can't do that. What will happen is that God will kill him, or he'll allow someone to land to die in battle, or he'll die. But whatever, we're not going to do it. And so now he calls out to Saul and challenges him again. And verse 21, then said Saul, I have sinned. Return my son David. For I will no more do thee harm, because my soul was precious in thine eyes this day. Behold, I have played the fool and have erred exceedingly. I just want to think about what he said there. Behold, I have played the fool. I have played the fool. We preach from this passage in days gone by. He says, I've played the fool. He certainly had. He certainly had. He should have been so thankful to God for David, amen. He should have said, Lord, thank you for David. He slain 10,000. It's wonderful. And I'm so blessed to have this man on my side. Quite the opposite. He got envious. He got jealousy. What does that lead to? Hurt if he gets the chance. He tried more than one occasion to kill David. He kept hunting him around the countryside. All why? Because David got more praise than he did. You see, that's only a little thing. In a sense it is, but little things can become big things, can't they? Little things can become mountains if not careful. And Saul says, behold, I have played the fool. The fool. He knew the situation. He knew God was with him. He knew that David one day would be king and have the throne. And yet he continued to chase him and try and kill him. And he says, behold, I have played the fool and have erred exceedingly. And I want to look this morning a little bit about what the Bible says about fools. Saul was a fool, no doubt about that. He was a fool. It's interesting, I looked up Webster's dictionary, Webster's dictionary, 1828, I think it goes back, and just to see what he had to say about a fool, a number of things, but I'll just read a couple. He says, a person who acts absurdly, that probably described Saul, that one who does not exercise his reason, one who pursues a course contrary to the dictates of wisdom. Then he says this, in scripture, and that's one reason I like Webster's dictionary, he uses the scripture a lot to give definition of words. He says this, in scripture, fool is often used for a wicked or a depraved person. One who acts contrary to sound wisdom in his moral deportment. One who follows his own inclinations. Who prefers trifling and temporary pleasures to the service of God and eternal happiness. That probably covers a few things, doesn't it, about a fool. I say this, someone who knows and doesn't do, or worse still, tries to change God's will. They're fools. They're fools. I mean, the same way Saul knew that David was being blessed by God, that David was one day going to be on the throne. What a fool to try and change God's will. What a fool not to listen to counsel and start himself doing God's will. Well, have a look in Psalm 14. And many people in our world today will fit this definition. In Psalm 14 and verse 1. And notice what David writes here. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. David says, anybody who says there is no God, they are a fool. They are a fool. There are many things in this world today that God has given that tell us that there is a God. Amen. The heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament show of his handiwork. And he goes on and says, day unto day, night unto night, and there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Someone's only going to look up in the sky at night and say, wow, how did that get there? Wonder who put that. I remember doing that. Some of you heard me say it before I got saved a couple of times. I used to run and run every day and sometimes go, you know, night times, late afternoon, evening, and go for a 10-mile run or something and get home. A couple of times I remember out in the backyard there, it was dark and, you know, the moon was out and stars. And I looked up and I thought, wonder how all that got there. So amazing. I wasn't saying, but what was happening? The heavens were speaking to me. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. People don't have an excuse in that sense. So a fool is someone who said in his heart, there is no God. And you and I know there are many fools out there today. Many of them in the world. There's foolishness. You have a look in Psalm 53. Psalm 53. And the same thing. The fool, verse 1, has said in his heart, there is no God. When God repeats something a couple of times, it certainly seems to indicate there's a truth there, amen. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Well, we'll leave them where they are as fools for the moment. Let's come to the book of Proverbs. And in the book of Proverbs, the book of wisdom, it's interesting, there are about 80-plus references to fools, foolishness, and folly, and that sort of an idea. That's a lot of references to fools. First of all, we find in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools But fools despise wisdom and instruction. If you don't listen to the word of God and the wisdom in the word of God, you are a fool, God says. You're a fool. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And again, this world today has forgotten if they ever knew anything about the fear of God. We just do our own thing. If it feels good, do it. That's the way it is. But what about God? There is no God. We're not afraid of God. Well, you're a fool. They despise wisdom and instruction. You notice in chapter 15 of Proverbs, we're not going to look at all these verses in here this morning, but if we look at Psalm 15, verse 5, a fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. Same thought, isn't it? Only it's related now to fathers. A fool despises his father's instruction. You got a child who won't listen to you, won't do what you tell them, they're a fool. We understand there's a balance in that. If you're asking to sin, then you don't obey them in that sense. You just won't listen. No one will listen to that. Well, have a look at Proverbs 12. Just back a couple of pages in my Bible. Proverbs 12. Notice verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. A person is a fool who thinks he knows it all. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. I know, really. You need to maybe hearken under some counsel to find out you actually don't know everything. That you're not as quite as smart as you think. You're actually a fool because you don't listen. You won't listen to counsel. You have a look in Proverbs 13. Notice what verse 20 says. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. Notice what comes next. But a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Who are your friends? Oh, well, be careful. If your friends are fools, what does it say about friends of fools? A companion of fools shall be destroyed. We need to do what? We need to walk with wise men. We need to walk with, if we're saved, we should be walking with other godly people, amen. They should be our closest, not some fool out there in the world. Now, that fool out there in the world, we need to go to them and share the gospel with them and show them they've got to stop being a fool and get saved, trust Christ as their Saviour. But we're not to be close companions with them. There's something wrong if a Christian's closest friends are unsaved people. Something wrong with that. If the people we spend most of our time with, they're unsaved, there's something wrong with that. That's a fool, and a companion of fools shall be destroyed. So we need to be careful about who our friends, etc. are. Proverbs 14. This is a classic for today, verse 9. Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is hope. People think sin is so funny. You Christians, come on, get with it. Have some fun. What's wrong with a few beers? What's wrong with this? What's wrong with that? We're going to have some fun. And fools make a mock of sin. That's not how it ought to be for God's people, I bet. Are we supposed to be holy? Be holy, the Lord says, for I am holy. You need to be holy, not laughing at sin or making light of sin. Well, that's, you know, so what? You know, we're under grace, brother. Ever heard that? They're fools. They're seriously fools. Fools make a mark of sin. Sin is something serious. We've seen this morning as we look at the elements how serious sin is. It took the Lord Jesus Christ to come from heaven's glory to humble himself under death, even the death of the cross, so the problem of sin could be dealt with. And then people make a mock of sin. That's not funny at all. Sin should grieve us. We shouldn't laugh at that. We shouldn't think it's funny. It should grieve us. In fact, at times it should make us angry. The foolishness that goes on, I may have already mentioned it, with this whole hub and everything else. There was a, I still haven't written a letter, I may or may not, but, you know, you've got one of the papers, I think it's the Southeast Voice, gotta be careful, whatever. And, there was a front page article, alcohol and the problems it's causing youth in the area, the district, or whatever it said. So that'll be right. Then a couple of issues later. New brewery opening up down there in Mount Gambier. Isn't this wonderful? Another article there that said, we've got this special alcohol group, whatever they are, trying to help people who've got alcohol problems. Same page. There's an article, a small article. A man has been caught by the police driving under the influence. It's all good. And then to top it off, when I read the mayor's letter about the hub, there's going to be a bar in the hub. Then I did get angry. Because why? Because the hub, according to the doctor at Hawkins Clinic, is going to solve all the sociological and physiological and physical problems of the people in the southeast of South Australia. And we look at what problems alcohol is causing, and then we say we need a bar in the hub. And I did get angry about that. I haven't written it yet now, but I still got it on the drawing board. What am I saying? Fools make a mock of sin. Make it, it's funny. Oh yeah, it's very funny, yes. You have a look in Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. This is a classical about, if we're talking alcohol, have a look in verse 29. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it's red, when it giveth his colour in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. That's a bit of fun. Yeah, wait till you get to the end of it. Thine eyes shall behold strange women. Sounds interesting. And thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yeah. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou, they say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. Sounds like they've had a couple of drinks. Notice what it says next. When shall I wake? In the last bit, I will seek it yet again. All I can do is shake my head. And these fools out there think it's all good. They're fools. They are fools. You have a look in Proverbs 29, verse 11. And verse 11, Proverbs 29, a fool utters all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. James says this, every man should be what? Swift to hear and slow to speak. But a fool, quiet. You're a fool, be quiet. Oh my, we could go on, couldn't we? We could go on. There's 80 plus verses to deal with fools and proverbs. I want to look at one more in Matthew chapter 7. And the Lord Jesus gives us a wonderful analogy here in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 26. We'll start with verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Well, guess what? Here's the man who built his house upon the sand, and down it came. Built it on the rock, it's all good. And the Lord's using this to draw this picture for us. Here's a man who goes out to build a house. Gets the land, and he works out where the foundation should go. We want it on a rock, because we don't want this building to come down one day. Then the other man, he says, that he goes out and just builds his house on the sand. Then the storms come, and the man who built his house on the rock, the house stands. The man who built his house on the sand, when the storms and the wind and everything comes, the house is knocked over, fallen, and great. It was a mess, was its fall. The Lord Jesus said, here's the picture. Those who do my word, my will, are like the man who builds on the rock. Those who do not do my word, do my will, they're like the person who builds on the sand, and their lives will go down like that house was built on the sand. It'll be a mess. And so we need to make sure that we're not fools. Amen. We need to make sure that we are doers of the word. Because if we're doers, then we'll be building on a rock. And when the storms of life come, and they always come, the house is still standing. But if we're building on the sand, in other words, we're not doers of God's word, the storms will come and we'll get knocked over every time. That's what will happen. What did Saul say? I have played the fool. And may the Lord help us that we don't play the fool. We don't have to one day say, I played the fool. And probably all of us could say, there have been times when I probably have played the fool. Now, there have been times when I haven't done what God's word told me to do. But by God's grace, we ought to say this morning, but Lord, from now on, I'm going to build upon the rock. Because I know storms will come, and I don't want to get knocked over. Lord, help me to be a doer. Help me to build on the rock. Remember, on Christ, the solid rock, I stand. It doesn't matter what happens there. Storms can come. He'll give grace to get through. You know, probably the biggest fool of all, close with this thought. The biggest fool of all is someone who hears the gospel and then doesn't receive Christ as their Savior. They're the biggest fool of all. One day they'll stand before God. God will say, you heard the truth. You heard the gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ came from heaven to die on the cross for your sins. He took your punishment. He took your pain. He was buried and raised physically in body, and you could have believed on him and being saved, had eternal life. And now you stand as a fool. You wouldn't receive Christ, and you were made forever in hell. That's a serious fool, isn't it? It's a serious fool. Sadly, there'll be many like it. You know, with Saul, we'll just close with this thought about Saul. You know how he finished up? Committed suicide. Brought his sword out, asked his servant to kill him. His servant said, I'm not going to do it. Saul said, I'll do it myself. Fell on his sword and killed him. What a fool. What a fool. May that not be our testimony. May we be doers of the word of God. Let's pray. Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank you and bless you, Lord, for your word. Lord, it's very clear what you have to say, always is. Lord, when it comes to Saul, what an example he is. Not one to follow, but one to learn from. Not one to be like him, to learn from him. Started out how? Well, when it came to David, their relation started out with a little bit of envy, a little bit of jealousy. Finished up impaling himself upon his own sword one day down the track. Father, what a sad, sad situation. Lord, we just touched on it this morning. The world's full of fools. Those who mock and say there's no God. Those who mock at sin. And Lord, the list goes on and on. Lord, may we learn from these things. May we come back, Lord, to the very basic truth of Lord Jesus. We're not the foolish person building on the sand. The sand of man's teachings and ideas and philosophies. May we build our lives upon the Lord Jesus Christ, upon the Word of God. Lord, knowing there still be storms, yes, there'll be trials, but our house will stand by the grace of God. Father, we thank you, we praise you, and bless you. In our Lord Jesus' name, amen.